This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
What can I say other than we have a guest back in studio? In fact, we have two guests in studio now, one of whom I've threatened to call the program after because he comes in so often, but it's always a pleasure to see Adam Simmons. Welcome, Adam.
Hello, David. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
Wonderful news.
It is indeed. And you have with you tonight from The Boit. So I've got to ask about that. E.L. Chipkovich.
Yes, hello.
Welcome to Joy 94.9.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me and congratulations on the award.
Thank you very much. We're just going to make a little bit of that tonight. I think we can do that today.
I think so.
Now, Adam, you're here with AL because there's a gig coming up.
Yes.
That's just a bit different.
Just a little bit different.
Yeah. Why is it different?
Because it's not just a gig.
Right.
It's a chance to actually have a bit of a chat, listen to the stories of the musicians, have some food with them, and hear a little bit of music.
Almost a musical dinner.
Yes, yes.
What a great idea.
So, yeah, it's the second series like this, I think, or the third?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we did it at the end of last year. We had about six song appetit shows with very, very interesting musicians and very interesting conversations. And, yeah, we decided to do it again.
So let's take one step back. We are The Boit.
We are The
Boit. And who are The Boit?
The Boit.
The Boit.
I've got to get the French accent.
Okay. I'm not very good with accents. The Boit. What is The Boit?
The Boit is a small but mighty organization that just turned 40.
Oh, congratulations.
And it's been supporting migrants to settle through music for the last 40 years. It's also been dragging people out of their seats and to participate in singing projects.
I noticed on your website there's quite a bit of singing, group singing.
Yeah, there's large choirs, large and small choirs, young and not so young choirs.
Some people may be familiar with the Millennium Chorus. Does bring usually a couple of hundred singers together with different guest artists each year.
Yeah, so The Boit, what do we produce? We produce 80 to 100 shows a year.
That's huge.
Mostly small, acoustic, very intimate shows in which traditional music, new contemporary music, Australian-made music that may sound like traditional music from other places. And it's a wonderful little organization that should be around for another 40 years.
Yeah. And you perform around at various locations. I know I've been to a couple of Boit things out at Box Hill.
Yeah, so there's a handful of regular venues in North Fitzroy, in Box Hill, in Eltham, and at the Abbotsford Convent now that the offices are there. And then there's maybe 15 or 20 occasional venues where we do anything between one and five shows a year. The Recital Center has a couple of series. 45 downstairs. We're working with the Alliance Française this year for the first time, running a series of French-related music shows there. Lots of music comes through the doors of The Boit.
And it's an organisation that obviously has not just a love of music, but an understanding about how to get it out to the audience.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I guess so. That's how we made it to this microphone today.
That's exactly right. You've got the right people on the job getting the voice out there, getting the messages out there. What do you find works for you when trying to get this information out to your audience? Is it through word of mouth? Is it through advertising?
I think word of mouth is by far the greatest asset anyone can have. Enthusiasm for a show, you know, when the musicians are excited and their friends are excited and this excitement spills out and is contagious. It's wonderful. It's great not to have to do any work and still have a full room of people
indeed.
Who are...
Is The Boit a large organisation or just a small team?
What do you think?
I'm going to have a punt on a very small team.
It is a very small team of very hard-working people with multiple heads and hats. There's five of us. Nobody's full-time. And we put in as much as we can with our hands and with our hearts to make it happen.
With the likes of Adam Simmons, one of the musicians performing.
Well, yeah. it's an honor, really, to talk to Adam and to have this relationship at the level that we do, where we can tease each other.
Yes, yes.
But where did the idea come from? Was it what idea or somewhere else to have dinner with music?
So last year, there's another nearby partner organization called Casa Cultura that was operating from a venue in Brunswick East, at the first floor of Alicia's Cafe Collective, which is unfortunately no longer there. And we were, Casa Cultura was programming for that venue. We started with these conversations around dinner, because we were trying to support the cafe downstairs so that the events would always be an opportunity to taste the food and get to know them. So we started with these conversations that weren't really musical at the beginning, various topics, people with interesting things to say. They were called cooking up a convo. And after a couple of those, the first musician, like the idea to bring a musician came up, and we named it Song Appetit, and immediately that became a 6-event series.
Oh,
it
right.
Took about half an hour to program that one. We had these wonderful, wonderful conversations. So there's a couple of, it works at a couple of different levels, but one that's really important is for the musicians themselves. You know, at the end of shows, often the musicians will say, yeah, that was a nice gig, that was fun, thumbs up. And at the end of these shows, they would come up to me and say, the things I've discovered about myself are... And, you know, we had somebody, Rose de la Montaña, I don't know if you know her, she's a fabulous fingerstyle guitarist, and she actually spent a couple of weeks before the show going back to her childhood and remembering all the songs that inspired her in a way. The first song she ever played on the guitar, and then the first memory she has of playing publicly, and she actually traced her steps back and performed over an hour and a half, telling us the stories of these musical milestones. And she was blown by the process.
It's a big ask of a musician, I suppose, to step outside the boundary of, I'm going in there, I'll play the music on the paper, and then I'll walk out. How did it affect you, Adam, the first time you were involved?
Oh, well, this will be the first time.
Oh, you haven't done it before?
No, I haven't.
Oh, sorry, I thought
No, I looked on quite enviously last year at the program and go, oh, gee, that sounds like that'd be great fun.
So you jumped at it?
Yes.
What do you think you'll get out of it?
Oh, I think you know me, David, that I'll throw myself in.
I have no doubt you'll throw yourself in completely.
And Alessandra Grossi, who I'm sharing the spotlight with, or the dinner plate.
No, you'll get a dinner each.
All right, thank you.
Oh, please hear it.
She will also be much the same. And, you know, she's Italian, living east of Florence. Very, very Italian. And she's food, Italy, music, it's all kind of going to be there.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Adam, for you as a musician, who I assume is used to arriving at a venue, setting up, playing, packing up and going home.
Yep, yep.
This gig we're talking about sees you arrive at a venue, setting up, but then having dinner.
Yeah, yeah. It's
as well as playing.
It's a great way. Normally we go to a gig and you do leave at the end of it and everybody goes home. Particularly when travelling, it can be a bit demoralising at the end of the gig because you don't know anybody and no one's hanging around and you sort of go, oh, what do we do now? And often it seems overseas the gigs are earlier and you eat later, so you do eat after the gig. But every once in a while you do end up actually being able to share a meal with people that you haven't met before, and then all this stuff comes out and the music is a way for conversations to begin. It's a lovely way to meet new people, and particularly different cultures, because the music just does help start conversations. And you're actually bringing something that people can share in, as well as the music.
So is it a case that you
the food, I mean.
eat, play, eat, play, eat, play? Is there a combination of that, or is it eat first and then play?
We'll have the dinner at the end.
At the end?
Oh, well, not at the end, but at the second half, I say. So we will start with something that is a hybrid between an artist talk and a performance.
Yes.
And we're not telling them what we want them to talk about.
Ah,
they,
right.
They whatever they want us to see inside of them, that's what they'll show us after about, you know, an hour or so of going through.
So they've got to perform first for their supper.
That's right. That's right. And then dinner magically will appear at some point in the night. I just have to wink twice and snap my fingers.
It happens.
And I must admit, it's a lovely thing. This is sort of on a bigger scale, but the concerts I've done in France in particular seem to begin after you've done the sound check, then the crew, the venue staff and you, the band, all go off to eat dinner together.
What a great idea.
And it's not separated. And so everyone that's putting on the event actually share in the meal together.
Oh, wow.
And then you go off and you do the work. And so this is sort of just expanding on that.
Great idea.
So, yeah.
I think the audiences always have questions about the musicians that are entertaining them. It's like bringing you into a radio studio. Mm. We always have something to ask you about. So it sounds like a great opportunity for the audience members to actually learn something, to ask the questions that they might normally have just come along, thought to themselves and gone home.
That's right. We'll put Adam and Alessandra on a chair with wheels and move them around, and when they're not looking, we'll take their plate and it'll pop somewhere else, so they go and sit with someone else.
Fantastic.
No, but it does. Our experience in the last series was that's exactly what happened. So we would all gather around the table after the first part, the performance and talk part was over, and the conversation would be guided by what just happened, and the musicians were involved in this conversation. But it's a big table, but you could still hear pockets of the table speaking amongst themselves in relation to what happened.
In your experience, Ayel, the musicians who have been taking part in these conversations, have they come along with an idea about the repertoire they were going to play and then change it based upon the conversations they've had?
No, I think they didn't all prepare him rigorously. Some of them were more spontaneous than others. But yeah, I think they had an idea of what their performance would look like and feel like.
I'll warn you that I, even on my regular gigs, I change in the middle.
I know that. I know that very well, Adam. We don't expect you to submit set lists or abide by any kind of guidelines.
So, Adam, how are you going to describe the music that yourself and Alessandra are going to play on this gig?
Well, Alessandra is a classical pianist who, very much classical, who says she can't improvise, but don't believe her. But she spent 20 years or more playing with a quartet, harmonia quartet, that has toured the world playing the music of Frank Zappa in a chamber music style. So she loves that music and really plays with that energy. I play with a similar kind of energy. I've, you know, listened to plenty of Frank Zappa, but I sort of come from more the jazz impro world. So we met about 10 years ago. It was a very brief meeting, but where I walked around the streets of Prague for 40 minutes with the quartet, the four of us connected, and then the result was she was going to be in Australia a year later, I was going to be in Tuscany or Italy, and so, and then we've just been able to keep doing concerts, both Italy and Australia, since then. And it's this mix of kind of classical things where she just goes, "Oh, just improvise over that." And I'm like, "But what about the composer? Oh, just it'll be fine."
He's dead anyway.
Yeah. No, often they're living ones. They're often contemporary Italian ones.
Where are you going to be performing and eating together?
We'll be at the Clyde Hotel in Carlton.
Yes, this is on Cardigan Street. I think the corner of Cardigan and Elgin on Wednesday, the 30th of November.
So not very far away.
No, a couple of weeks. Yep. And we kick off at 6:30 with a drink.
Tickets are required?
Tickets are, advised. Advisable.
Your, are they from your website?
From the Boîte. Well, the link is to be found at boîte.com.au. That's where you find the gateway to our hundreds of concerts.
And I think we need to spell Boîte as boite.com.au.
That's right.
And the links are all there for Song of Petite with Adam Simmons and Alessandra Garossi.
And it's also the first one in a series of three shows. We will have Femme and Zvi Belling
that would be
coming to the second
too.
One on the 20th of November.
November.
And then we will have Richard Tedesco,
right,
the flamenco guitarist, on the 4th of December.
Great selections, each of them, EL. Yeah. Thank you for coming in. I've just noticed, though, that, Adam, you're not only just performing in Song of Petite, but you're performing also in the St Kilda Jazz Summit, which is interesting because we were speaking to Nisha earlier in the evening.
Yeah, it was really lovely hearing her talk.
Where are you going to be performing in the summit?
I'll be performing with Jules Bolt and the Redeemers as part of the concert with Rene Geyer on the Saturday, 2nd of November.
2nd of November.
I think we start at 7:30.
Yep. Oh, that's going to be a great night as well.
On the topic of just noticing things, I just noticed that not only did Bend Notes get an award, but so did you, David. You were named honorary life member of the station.
I was indeed
today,
yes.
So congratulations.
Thank you very much for that. Yes, I again was somewhat surprised when my name was called out, and I have a very beautiful certificate that says honorary life member now, and I have my very special honorary life member card as well.
What are you going to do with that?
I'm going to hang on to that very tightly. Thank you for noticing that, EL.
Not surprised at all.
Thank you very much,
well
Adam.
Deserved.
Well, EL and Adam, thank you so much for dropping in tonight. A little bit there about yourself, Adam, there at St Kilda Jazz Summit, but more importantly, Song of Petite, which is a series, but you're kicking off this batch of three on 30th of October, which is a Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m. at the Clyde Hotel. All details and tickets from boite.com.au, boite.com.au. Thank you both so much for dropping into Bent Notes tonight.
Thank you, David.
Thanks so much, David.
Appreciate your time. And I am going to play the piece I was going to play earlier this time. I think I put the wrong piece into the playlist. But this one, how do you pronounce that?
Bruges.
Yeah, sorry about that. Jed, turned your microphone off already, Adam.
It's Bruges, the Carillon, Carillon, the Bells.
The Bells. Yeah. Well, here are the Bells on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.